It's Saturday, the 12th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Jeremy Grant. Fantasy Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Chris Hoyle. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Chris Hoyle, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor of the podcast for an episode. And thank you to Chris and everyone who has sponsored the podcast so far this season. Of course, big thanks go out to Moneyball.com.au, the presenting sponsor of the podcast for the entire 2015-16 NBA season. If you live in Australia or New Zealand, you know what to do. Go and check out Moneyball for all your DFS action. If you are watching this podcast live on YouTube, you can watch it later on YouTube. But if you're watching live on YouTube and you want to interact with the show directly, tweet at me at redrock_bball, and we can incorporate some of your questions into the show as it goes to air. We've got a lot to talk about. Stacks, I've got a feeling this might be a relatively long podcast. Someone tweeted at me yesterday, it's great when you can keep them under an hour. I agree. Sometimes I can't, because I've just got so much that I want to say. So I do try to keep them to an hour. And I understand it's probably beneficial if they go under an hour. Sometimes I look at it and go, shit, we're already at an hour five, and it extends out. So I do apologize for that. I get the feeling tonight's going to be one of those. So no more bullshitting from me.
Let's get to it.
The Instagram contest, we're looking at Avery Bradley combined points and steals. The total was 18, and Ryan_Humphreys and Dylan M. Irvine both got that one correct. So well done, guys. On Facebook, it was Victor Oladipo combined points, rebounds, and assists. The total was 27, and Jesse Trosper and Andre Paula got that one correct. So well done to those guys. For Saturday, Instagram, we're looking at Big David Lee now with the Dallas Mavericks combined points, rebounds, and blocks. And Facebook, it's CJ McCollum combined points and assists. So head across to those various social media sites and enter your guesses for the day's contests. The monstrous line of the night. I've got nearly every jersey in the NBA, or one from every team. I'm missing three teams. And unfortunately, the player who was the monstrous line of the night and the waiver wire line of the night, I don't have a jersey from that team. My Memphis jersey has gone astray. It's gone missing in transit, so hopefully it does arrive soon. But the monstrous line of the night goes to a Memphis Grizzly player, obviously, and it's Matt Barnes. I don't know why I just called him that, but there we go. Matt Barnes. I've been on Matt Barnes for a big chunk of this season, and I've been saying that he should be owned for most of the year. It appears that not many people have been listening to me, but you would be pretty happy if you did own him after today's game. He's owned in only 39% of leagues. That's why he qualifies for the waiver wire line of the night. 26 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists for his first career triple-double, 4 triples, 2 steals. He hit all 6 of his shots from the free throw line. He went 8 of 19 from the field. Now, I don't know why Barnes is owned in so few leagues when he's ranked 103rd on the season. He's ranked 93rd over the last 2 months. He's ranked 99th over the last 2 weeks, 78th over the last three months. I understand that he doesn't score a huge amount. I get that. But what he does is he gives you a triple one, and he gives you high free throw percentage. He gives you nice rebounds, solid assist numbers. The last month, he's giving you 3 dimes a game, 1.7 triples, 5 rebounds, 0.8 blocks, 0.9 steals. These are all useful numbers. And if his shot actually clicks, instead of hitting 36% of his shots and he goes to 40, 42, then his value does rise significantly. Now, he is taking more shots and he's not hitting them, and that is a drain on your field goal percentage. So I can understand that, but I don't think that 61% of people in leagues are so reliant on the field goal percentage. I think there's got to be some out there that are punting field goals and can deal with this issue that he's presenting. Maybe it's not the case. Maybe everyone just hates this drain on field goals that Matt Barnes is providing, but he's providing so many other stats. I think, yeah, maybe I look at him and go, he's more of a must-own player, because punt field goals is almost a default strategy for me. I think in all of my, I don't even know how many leagues I'm in, my 12 leagues, I think, apart from the two roto leagues, I think I've gone punt field goal in, so I've got 10 more, about 8 of them I'm punting field goal percentage in. And yeah, so Matt Barnes is a clear option to me. But he is a drag if you're not looking to disregard that category. Still, the Grizzlies are a complete and utter mess. Barnes should be owned, but just you do have to be careful of that field goal percentage. Everything else he provides is brilliant. The triple one stats are really nice. The free throw percentage is nice, but the field goal percentage is an issue, but he should be owned. We're going to talk more Grizzlies guys later because there's a lot of weird stuff happening with that team, that's for sure. The young gun of the night. Now, it's not often that I pat myself on the back. And I'm not going to exactly pat myself on the back here, but if you heard Josh Richardson's names touted anywhere before I did on this show, I'd be shocked. I've been on Richardson for a very, very long time. I reckon if I went back to the preseason podcasts, I was quite excited about what Josh Richardson can do. And he has found himself a significant role. He has kicked Gerald Green from the rotation. He's moved Josh McRoberts out of the rotation. He's enabled the Heat to trade away Mario Chalmers. Yes, some injuries have come into play, like Tyler Johnson's injury and Ben Udry's injury, but Richardson has got a significant role. He played 32 minutes tonight. He had 22 points, including 4 triples, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. 9 of 12 shooting is not realistic for him. That's not something that he's going to continue to do. But in the last month, he's a 55% shooter. He's 77% from the line to give him a ranking of 102. He's giving you over a steal a game, over half a block, 1.5 triples a game. These numbers, they look 102 looks good, and you go, yeah, that might be useful in 12-10 leagues. It's not for everyone, but he is providing solid numbers, that really good field goal percentage. The threes are good, the steals are good, the blocks are good. The assists are okay at about 2 a game as well over this last couple of weeks that he's providing. And in the last, say, 2 weeks, he's up at 27.5 minutes a game, and he's inside the top 100. And then the last week, he's inside the top 60. He's getting better and better and better. And I do really think that this guy is going to be a pretty decent fantasy contributor over the course of his career in the next 2 to 3 seasons. I've been on him as a dynasty league guy. Now I've got to start getting on him and talking about him as a 14-team league guy and potentially a valuable, streamable 12-team league guy. That's sort of where he's sitting at the moment. Josh Richardson is putting in some big games, and this was definitely the biggest of them. So well done to the young Jay Rich there. The dud of the night. Serge Ibaka is struggling. I think that's fair to say. He played 20 minutes and did not score at all. He had 2 rebounds. He had a steal and a block. Serge Ibaka in the last 2 weeks is ranked 122nd. I do not recommend dropping Serge Ibaka unless your league is 6 teams deep. If it's 8 teams deep, I would be holding Serge Ibaka. But his numbers haven't been great this year at all. He is at 12.7 points, less than 7 rebounds, only 2 blocks. And I say only 2 blocks because he was a guy that was a 2.5, 3, 3.5 blocks guy. And he's at 2 blocks a game for the season, but the last month he's at 1.3. The last 2 months he's at 1.5. So that big advantage that he had has dropped off significantly. His field goal percentage has plummeted. His rebounds aren't good. He's not hitting a 3 like he was last year. He has fallen completely off a cliff statistically. And he's obviously no longer an elite fantasy prospect. But I don't think that he's a droppable player. Really, really struggling at the moment and going through a lean patch. If someone drops him, I'd be all over going to grab him. But I don't think he's going to become a top 30 guy or anything like that anymore. But he should comfortably be a top 100 guy for the rest of the way. There will be some stinkers, no doubt, because he's had quite a few of them this season. But not a good spot for him. Different coaching obviously has impacted him. You know, he's played with Russ and KD before, so it's not that we've got a healthy Russ and KD here, because Ibaka's played with those guys healthily before and being able to do much better than what he's doing now. It's a coaching thing. It's the use of Enes Kanter and Steve Adams as well. It's playing Durant a little bit at the four that's impacting him somewhat also. So there's definitely some interesting things happening with Ibaka and his production, but don't go too overboard, and I wouldn't be overreacting and doing anything like dropping him at this point in the season. I know it's do or die for some teams, but he could go out and go for 18-8 with 3 blocks tomorrow and hit 2 threes, and you'd be, that's pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that sort of production, which is something that he could do. All right, we are going to look, well, first of all, we're going to have a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors, and then I'll be back to look at these games in a little bit of extra detail. All right, we're back. The next game, or the first game to have a look at, is the Detroit Pistons and the Charlotte Hornets. Toby Harris just keeps on keeping on, 20-5, 2 triples, 1 assist, 3 steals, just locked in at that sort of production and loving it in Detroit. What more can I say? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has found his groove after that groin injury. 24 points with a couple of triples and a steal. If he's available in your league, I would be looking to add him. He's only owned in 70% of leagues, so he could be around. Reggie Jackson went 20 and 10 with a couple of triples as well, so a nice game from him. Marcus Morris, 13 and 14. You know what I'm going to say about him. And Andre Drummond really struggled. Only 23 minutes for Drummond. Foul trouble limited him, but only 5 points. He had 9 boards and a block, and Aaron Baines then played 25 minutes and went 8-6 with 3 blocks and 2 assists. If you know that Baines is going to play minutes, which you can't do, but if you know that he's going to play, he is going to have 12-team league value. I can assure you of that. So if Drummond has to miss time at any stage and Baines gets a start, Baines is a guy that you're wanting to add because he is an elite percentages guy, both field goal and free throw. He blocks shots, he grabs rebounds, and he scores. He would be a fantastic addition to your team if he got the minutes. Stan Johnson and Tony Tolliver both return to this one. 9 minutes apiece for these guys. Not much to add if you're not adding either of them in a 12-team league. In a 14-team league, they could have value, especially Johnson. Tolliver will have to work his way back into minutes, but with the arrival of Toby Harris, that might cut into some of his playing time, but I think he goes back to 16 to 17 minutes a night. The guys who are going to cop it are Reggie Bullock and Darren Hilliard. They're going to lose a bit of playing time. Tolliver's probably more a 16 to 18 team league guy, while Stan Johnson is a 14 team league guy, but it'll take him a little bit of time to get back up to the sort of minutes he was playing before in that low 20s range. He will lose a couple as well with the arrival of Toby. The Charlotte Hornets, Cody Zeller, 10 and 4, 2 steals, 2 blocks, great percentages, 24 minutes for him. Al Jefferson had 21. This is how it's going to roll. Zeller is going to play more than Jefferson most nights. Every night, unless there's foul trouble, basically. Jefferson had 12 and 4 in his 21 minutes, but he is not a standard league guy to me. Courtney Lee played 35 minutes and another big game, 15 and 6 with a steal and a block. He was 7 of 9 from the field. He relies on elite efficiency to get any sort of production. He is not a guy that I'm looking at in 12-teamers. Marvin Williams, 22 and 6, no other stats, but hit 5 triples and was great with his percentages. He should be owned in every league as well. And he's, I just can't get over the way that he's played this season. And Nick Batum, 17, 5, and 11 with 2 steals and a triple. Talk about it plenty of times before, but people have no patience with Nick Batum whatsoever. None. It is strange to me, but people just cannot stand dealing with him, and they're very quick to wanting to drop him. And he's the opposite of a guy like Lance Stevenson, who everyone is quick to jump on board. Anything that happens, Lance is the guy. I have to own Lance over everyone. And we'll get to Lance soon, but just odd, the perception that people have of these guys. Nick Batum, I love Nick Batum. You know that. Kemba Walker, 32 minutes, 16 points with 8 assists. Not a great efficiency night. 3 of 11 for Kemba. On the bench, Jeremy Lin, 8 points. And Frank Kaminsky had 10 in his 25 minutes. Kaminsky's consistently getting these low to mid-20s in minutes and consistently providing solid numbers. And it's not a standard league sort of one. But if you've got a spot to fill, you need an efficient big man, stream him in for a day. But if you're in a 14 to 16 team league, then absolutely Kaminsky has got that role pretty much locked down at the moment. The Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers. Brookie Lopez, 24 and 7 with 3 blocks. He's a standard great percentages as well, so good night from him. And as I mentioned the other day, the point guard position in Brooklyn, 2 good games to 1 guy then. So Donaldson's had his 2 good games now, so more than likely we're going to see Shane Larkin play 30 minutes in the next one. Sloan had 34 minutes, 14, 9, and 9. That's great production. Shane Larkin had 15 minutes for 0 points, but he had 3 assists and 4 steals. Predicting what Tony Brown is going to do with this rotation is very, very difficult with the point guards, because if Shane Larkin plays 30 minutes in the next game, then I don't know what's going to happen. It's two big-minute games from Sloan, 2 big-minute games from Larkin, and then they're going to alternate. If it happens, I'll be surprised. It could be just coincidence, but that's what it seemed like. When one point guard starts to play well and lock himself in, yeah, he's playing 30 minutes, he's playing well, then the other guy out of nowhere will just play 30 minutes and play well as well. And that's what we're looking at here with Larkin, so watch out for that. But as for Sloan, sure, these are numbers that are 12-team league valuable, definitely. He's owned in just 9% of leagues, which is just ridiculously low. Now, Don Sloan is not a good player, but if you're playing 30-plus minutes and getting 14, 9, and 9, and he's done it a couple of times this season, he's also had some massive stinkers, he should be owned in more than 9% of leagues. That makes me think that, you know, there's 14-team leagues out there where he's not owned. And that absolutely can't be the case. 16-team leagues, he has to be owned in all of these. And that percentage is very low. Wayne Ellington played 29 minutes. He went 10, 5, and 4 with 2 triples. And he started alongside Markel Brown because the Nets decided they needed to rest Bojan Bogdanovic for what I have absolutely no idea, but they did. Allington, that's an okay sort of line, but nothing changes with him. He's not someone I'm targeting or looking to add. And Markel Brown has struggled the last couple, 5-3 with a triple and an assist. He looked like a 12-team league guy. I encourage you to look at him and add him. It hasn't worked out. You can drop him. Markel Brown is owned in more leagues than Donald Sloan, though. That throws me off quite significantly. Sean Kilpatrick played 24 minutes with Bojan Bogdanovic out. 10 points and 3 rebounds for him. He is clearly just a 20-team league sort of player. On the Philadelphia 76ers, we have no more news on Bob Cove, unfortunately. He copped that kick to the head, taken off on the stretcher to the hospital, being evaluated for concussion and neck issues. I will be shocked if he doesn't miss time with that. I am not dropping Bob Cove just yet. I would want to hear some more information because he can be really good, especially with Jahlil Okafor now out for the rest of the season. Bob Cove is going to take on a much higher usage, and I think he'll play a bit more four as well. He was playing well here, 12-4 with 4 triples in 17 minutes. That's some very good numbers from Bob Cove. Now, let's wait to hear what they say. If he's going to miss 1 or 2 games, then you have to sort of debate where you are in the standings and what you need to do in your matchup this week. But in a lot of cases, you'll be able to weather that storm for 1 or 2 games. He's not just an automatic drop because he's much better than a player who's an automatic drop. See, a guy like Jeremy Grant, who's suffering a potential concussion, if you think he's going to miss a game, he's a guy that I'll be like, fine, move on, I don't care. If I miss out on him, it doesn't matter. Bob Cove, on the other hand, is going to provide great value. Now, Grant only played the 17 minutes here too, 7-2-3 with a couple of blocks. He is a hard guy to own in 12-team leagues. He has not elevated his performance with Okafor out. So this is another one of those situations where people will be, okay, Okafor's out. Who's the ad? Well, he hasn't played for the last week. So just have a look at what's been happening the last week. The minutes have been going to Jeremy Grant, and he hasn't been producing. Now, he can produce better than that, but can he do it as a full-time starter over a long period of time? I do have my doubts, and your percentages will take a hit. Nerlens Noel's going to bump, though, no doubt. 13-11 for Noel, 2 steals and 3 blocks. 6-10 from the field. He just does what he does best. And Carl Landry played 25 minutes, turning the clock back. 16-8 for Landry with 1 assist. You deep league guys, 20 teamers, Landry is a guy you need to be looking at. And Hollis Thompson comes into the equation if Bob Cove misses any time. He played 33 minutes here. He went 11-7 with 4 assists. He can be feast and or famine. Thompson, I don't think that he's a must-own 12-team league guy. Not at all. But in a 4-team, sure, in a 12, and you want to stream a guy in who's going to be able to hit threes, Hollis Thompson is your man. Ishmith, 10-7-9. Yeah, there's nice numbers, but nothing too awe-inspiring there. And Rishaun Holmes dealing with some Achilles soreness. He played 12 minutes. So Jeremy Grant, Rishaun Holmes, and Jahlil Okafor, that front court is looking mighty thin. We're going to be seeing a lot of Nerlens Noel, Carl Landry, and Alton Brand if these guys can't get healthy. Isaiah Cannon had a stinker, just 4 points in his 27 minutes, but he is going to get a little bit of extra run if Bob Cove happens to be out as well. The Rockets and the Celtics, Jim Harden, 32-3-4, and a triple one. Big numbers from the line as well, going 13-15. He went 9-19 from the field. So big numbers from Jim again. And Dwight Howard went 12-12 with a steal and a block, continuing to show he can still put up some numbers. Trevor Reza, 10-8, 4 assists, 2 steals and 2 dribbles. That is exactly where his money is made, in the steals and threes category. And Pat Bev had 12 rebounds in 39 minutes, 4 assists and 8 points, just continuing to be that 12-team league point guard that is owned in not enough of them. Donatas Motiejunas, 10 minutes as a starter. He is just not getting the run. He's not getting the exposure as a starter at the moment. So he was not someone I looked to add in a 12-team league, but he was someone who I was very interested in to see how it played out. But it's playing out that he's getting minutes in the teens. And that's because Michael Beasley, super cool Bees, is back. He played 15 minutes and he set an NBA record for the... Now, let me get this correct because it's a bizarre stat. Okay. Nobody has ever taken 19-plus shots in 15 minutes until Michael Beasley today. That is, that's pretty weird from Michael Beasley to take 19 shots in 15 minutes. Now, he had 18 points and 8 rebounds. That's like a full game's production in less than 15 minutes. Now, does he do it again? My answer is probably going to be no, but Josh Smith's out of the rotation. Terrence Jones is out of the rotation. Donatas Motiejunas isn't playing much. Clint Capela's at basically 10 minutes a night. Can Beasley procure 20 to 24 minutes as a starting power forward, or at least the main power forward on this team? it's not stupid. I'm not 12-teaming him. I am potentially going in a 14-team league and definitely in a 16-team league. Corey Brewer had 10 points with a couple of steals in his 22 minutes. And KJ McDaniels has found himself a role finally on this team. He played 13 minutes here, 10 or so in the last couple of games. He's not doing anything, 2-2-2, but at least he's actually seeing the court, which is something we haven't seen from KJ since back in his Philadelphia days to start last season. The Celtics, disappointed with that loss, I'm sure. Jared Sallinger, 24-12, 4 rebounds. No, try again. 24-12, 4 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks. His breakout season has continued. Really interesting to see what they do with him in restricted free agency. And Isaiah Thomas, 30, with 5 triples, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Just quickly back to Jared Sallinger. He's owned in 73% of leagues. What the hell is going on in the other 27% of leagues? Why is he not owned in every one of them? He should have been owned in every one of them since about week 2 of the season. There were some lean patches, but I'm sure he's owned in every active league that's out there. Evan Turner, 30 minutes. He's going to get some extra run because Jay Crowder is dealing with an ankle sprain. To which Jay Crowder, or which date Jay Crowder, described as a high ankle sprain, which is shit scary. We don't know if it's accurate or how much time he's going to miss, but it would appear to be a miracle if he doesn't miss any time. Now, Crowder played 21 minutes and went 4-4 with a steal and a block. Turner, 5-7-9 with 5 steals. Evan Turner is owned in less than 50% of leagues. Evan Turner should be looked at, especially if you are dying for some rebounds and assists. He is going to provide those numbers. With Crowder out, Terry Rozier got some extra action. 10 minutes for Rozier, 3 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Your 20-team leagues maybe want to look at him, but possibly not. And Amir Johnson, just a complete write-off. I would be shocked if he's on the Celtics next season. 0 points with 2 rebounds for Amir in 14 minutes. Still no sign of Kelly Olynyk. And Marcus Smart, 7-4 in his 29 minutes. He was big. I was big on him in 12-team leagues. At this point of the season, if it's not working out, you move on from him and you go get someone else. And hopefully that works out for you. Avery Bradley touched on earlier, 16 points with a couple of steals, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists for Avery. Miami and Chicago, the Heat smacked the Bulls, kicked their asses very, very good and proper. Luol Deng, 19-6, 3 threes, 2 assists, 4 steals. He has to be owned. He is thriving in this new environment without Chris Bosh. Goran Dragic also has been really good, 26-3-9 with a 1-1. Big numbers from him. And look, you see how good it is to play against the Bulls. The whole team shoots 52% from the field. Numbers coming from everywhere. Maybe I should have used that qualifier on Josh Richardson to start the game. Great game from Joshy, but you're playing against the Bulls. Joey Johnson, 15-3-2, 4 steals and 2 triples. He's a 12-team league guy as well. And Hassan Whiteside didn't quite break that blocks record, which I thought he might have, but 13-16 with 3 blocks and a steal is fairly significant from him. Dwayne Wade was probably the only guy that struggled. He was 3 of 15 from the field for 9 points, 7 rebounds and 5 assists and 2 blocks. Those sort of things did save his night somewhat. And Justice Winslow got back to 32 minutes, went 8-6-4 with 3 steals, but his value is going to be restricted to your 14-team leagues now. Pau Gasol is doing everything he can to drag your team into the fantasy playoffs. 17-12-9 with 2 blocks and added 2 triples as well. And the Bulls were without Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose in this game. So their starting backcourt was Justin Holiday and Etuan Moore. Holiday played 38 minutes and went 14-4 with 2 steals and a block. Etuan Moore struggled. He went 6-2-5 with a block. Butler and Rose, how long are they going to be out? It doesn't appear like it's going to be long-term. They'll be back next week. So any appeal of Moore and Holiday is not long-term. Holiday has never shown to be any sort of reliable NBA player. Moore has at least shown a stretch when Butler was out as being decent. Do I add one of them? Maybe. If I just really need short-term value, who would I add? I would add Moore personally because he's just proven it over a longer period of time. Holiday, I don't believe in really at all. Taj Gibson, 25 minutes, 13-6-2 with a block. Solid numbers, but not 12-team numbers to me. And Mike Dunleavy had 25 minutes, 8 points with 2 assists and a steal. Love him for a 14-team format. Dougie McDermott dropped 10 in his 23 minutes. And Nikola Mirotic was restricted to just 19 minutes here. This Bulls team couldn't score over 100. They needed to play Mirotic more than this. Without Butler, without Rose, someone needed to score. And when you're leaving it to Justin Holiday and Taj Gibson to do the scoring, your team's going to struggle. And Mirotic didn't get the playing time. He still should be owned in all leagues, and hopefully this is a slight blip on his return. Bob Porter's played 18 minutes. He went 5-4-2. He doesn't have 12-team appeal for me. And Tone Snell had 5 points in his 10 minutes. Lucky to get 5 points, to be honest. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Gorgui Dieng was back in business, 25-9 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. He'd been a little bit down. He hit all 11 of his free throws. Big return to form from him. Rick Rubio, 13-8-12, and had 3 steals and 3 3-pointers. And one of the common misconceptions about Rubio is he's a guy who doesn't hit 3-pointers. Yes, he doesn't shoot the ball well, but he does still contribute in that category. He's not Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. He's not Jabari Parker. He's not Giannis Antetokounmpo, who don't hit threes at all. He does hit them. The percentage just isn't high. Karl Anthony Towns, 17-12, a steal and 3 blocks. Good numbers for him. And Andy Wiggins went 20 with 4 assists and 5 steals. These are numbers you don't expect from him. Now, 8 of 19 from the field and 2 of 4 from the free throw line. Sadly, we are sort of expecting that. But when he's adding assists and adding steals randomly like this and getting you 2 triples, that's pretty nice. Zach LaVine stunk, 9 points. Did have a 1-1 and a couple of assists, but he obviously still needs to be owned. Just not a good night from him there. And not a lot else. Now, Nemanja Bjelica returned. He didn't score in his 7 minutes. Remember when he was the talk of the town and he had to be owned in every league? That hasn't worked out too well for him. Tyus Jones had 5 points in his 12 minutes. And Tayshaun Prince back on the court for 15 minutes and he had 2 points. The Thunder, they lost. They are struggling. The Wolves got them at home. Durant, 28-6 with a couple of threes. Russ Westbrook, 26-4-8 with 3 triples. And Enes Kanter did his big double-double in limited minutes, 17-14 in 21 minutes on 7 of 9 shooting. Those numbers, I'll say it all the time, you love it and you go, oh my God, I need this guy in a 12-team league. And then he does nothing for 3 or 4 games. Very tough to own. Steve Adams, 8-13 with 4 blocks. He is a very nice punt free throw percentage guy for a 12-team league. Andre Robertson suffered an ankle sprain, did not return to the game. He lasted 14 minutes and had 2 points, and that really doesn't mean anything for fantasy, but it does open up some more minutes for Randy Foy, who did nothing in 29 of them. 6 points with 2 assists and a steal. He will get hot, and he will hit four or five threes in one game. You cannot hold him and bank on that happening. I hope that this means that Campaign gets some more backup point guard minutes, as there's no Andre Robertson, and Dion Wade is still out with that family issue. Foye is going to have to log a lot of minutes at the two. We're seeing Kyle Singler and Anthony Morrow get some more minutes there, but that wing position for the Thunder it's a real struggle at the moment. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Memphis Grizzlies, and yes, this was an NBA game. When I read out the names that played in this one, you will be surprised that this is an actual officially sanctioned NBA game. Anthony Davis played 47 minutes and went 25-13 with a steal and block. He's an NBA player. Drew Holiday, again, quick shout out to Alvin Gentry. You've discovered something, mate. You've really found something. You've dug it out of nowhere. You've been able to determine that Drew Holiday is a starter. I know you were just experimenting with him as a starter just to see how it works for your future. Just really want to test things out. But look, mate, you found out that he can be a starting quality player in this NBA. So, Alvin, hats off to you. You are, in fact, a great coach. Drew Holiday, 34-5-10. 2 triples, 1 block, dominating at the moment. Absolutely dominating. If his leg does not break, he's going to be awesome. He is putting in some big, big numbers. Ryan Anderson, a guy who'd been terrible lately, put in a big night as well, 24-14 with 2 triples and 3 assists. And Dante Cunningham, out of absolutely nowhere, 17-6, 2 triples, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 4 blocks. If there is not a bigger fluky line than that in this NBA season this year, I wouldn't be shocked. That is the least representative, the least replicable line that we've seen all season. Do not bank on Dante Cunningham doing that again. Yes, there's no players on this team, but he is in the group of no players. This is not something that will happen all the time. Tony Douglas got the start. He played 42 minutes, 12-7-6 with 2 steals and a triple with Norris Cole out. Do you add Tony Douglas? You know what? If you need short-term value, you add Tony Douglas because there is no one to get minutes here. Orlando Johnson played just 5 minutes. There is no guard, so they just went Drew Holiday and Tony Douglas. You're playing every minute. And if Norris Cole remains out, then you have to own Douglas, I think, in 12-team leagues. At least stream him in and see what happens. Alonzo G had 0 points in 25 minutes. That's Dante Cunningham's special. And Alonzo G just are showing him how it's done. No Kendrick Perkins in this one either. The Pelicans went small, which they should do basically every single game with the shit that they've got at center. Play Davis at center, play Anderson at the four. But that's too innovative for Gentry to do. Speaking of officially sanctioned NBA games, the Grizzlies started Briante Weber, Tony Allen, Lance No, they didn't start Lance. Try again. Matt Barnes, Jermichael Green, and Ryan Hollins. What a starting five. We've talked about Barnes' big game. Jermichael Green went 21-10 with a steal and a block. He is fantastic at the moment. It is going to die in the arse when Zebo returns. Add him for sure for now, but Randolph looks like he'll be back pretty soon. Briante Weber in his first start. That name just sounds like a girl's name. I can't help that. Briante, unless I'm saying it terrible, maybe it's Brian T. If it's Brian T. Weber, it sounds a little bit more masculine. Briante, not working for me. 10-5-7 with a steal and a block. If you're in a 14-team leagues, Briante, he needs to be owned. That is a fabulous line for a guy making his NBA debut. With now Conley is in a situation where the Grizz have said he's out indefinitely. That means nothing. That means he could be back tomorrow. It means he could be back never. It means something in between. It means we don't know when he's back. And that's not a great sign, but he could be back at any time. You can go and add Weber in your 14-team leagues, probably not a 12-teamer, because the guy you want to look at is Lance Stephenson, who went 33-7-4 with two steals, a block, and a triple. He was super efficient, going 12 of 20 from the field. He was also 8 of 12 from the free throw line, and he does hurt your free throws. He will continue to hurt your free throws, so don't ignore that fact. But there is no one to handle the ball on this team. Yes, there's Weber, but there is no one to handle the ball on this team. Stephenson is going to have to initiate a lot. He's going to play a lot of minutes until Conley comes back. You'd think he could, completely burst into flames and self-destruct, but I am willing to go with him in basically every league at least until that happens. Vince Carter also got hurt, so just thinning the wing depth here. 5-5 for Vince in 11 minutes, and Tony Allen played 37 minutes. And I talked about Tony Allen the other day that, yes, he might get minutes, but to expect that sort of scoring from him is not realistic. He had 8 points here. 4 steals and 4 rebounds is nice, and he's going to help you in those categories, but don't think that he's as must-own as what that first game back sort of showed. Ryan Hollins is that bad that he played just 13 minutes with no one else healthy. He did have 3 blocks, but he has no fantasy relevance whatsoever. And PJ Hairston, surprised he only got 24 minutes, but if Vince is out, he'll likely see some more, but he's really only your 14 to 16 team league deep guy. Washington and Utah. John Wall, 24-4-9 with a steal and a 3. Very nice numbers. And Markieff Morris had a solid night too. 16-4, 2 assists, 1 triple, and 1 steal. You know my thoughts on Markieff? I'm very much holding him. Marcin Gortat, foul trouble, limited him. 19 minutes, 8-4. Randy Whitman handles him horrifically though, and that is a concern for him and his future. But I don't imagine Whitman's at this team for a huge amount of time either. Nene, 19 minutes, 12-3 with a couple of steals. He will always flash something. Usually it's his basketball ability. A lot of the time it's his injury history. And it looks good when he plays. But how often will it happen? How often will he be this productive in these many minutes? You need to leave him for your deeper leagues. Brad Beal did not play, so Garrett Temple got another start, and he's terrible. We don't need to look at him. I'll tell you who else is terrible. Otto Porter. He has been brutal. He should be dropped in all standard leagues, all 10-team leagues definitely, and probably all 12-team leagues. 30 minutes for Otto, 6 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist. He was going to be the dud of the night tonight, but he's owned in less than 70% of leagues, and Serge Ibaka was brutal, so a couple of things going against him. Marcus Thornton made his debut for the Wizards. He hit one shot out of the 9 attempts that he took. Had 2 points in 20 minutes. This was a chance for him to show something with Brad Beal out. Once Beal returns, there is no value in us doing anything with Marcus Thornton this season. Jared Dudley, after his massive game, dropped back down to under 20 minutes and had 2 points with 3 steals. That's why we didn't need to go crazy over that. Speaking of going crazy, Shelvin, return of the Mac. 34 minutes, 27-3-4 with 3 triples. 11 of 17 shooting is not something that he is going to do very often, but he has to be owned, I think, in 12-team leagues. And I guess it depends on who you're dropping, but his value will expire pretty soon. Rod Hood, 14 with 4 steals and 3 triples, a nice night from him. And Gordie Hayward went 18-2-3, so solid nights from the best players, excluding Mac. Derek Favors, 14-9 with 2 steals, a nice night. And Rudy Gobert just doing what he's been doing, and that's not great. 6 points, but 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and 4 of 8 from the free throw line. Just a real stinker of a season from Rudy Gobert relative to where he was drafted and relative to what the expectations were with him. Trey Burke only played the 6 minutes here with Rod Hood back, 2 points for him. Not much else to really talk about. Trey Lyles was good, 18 minutes for him, 8-4. He is a real solid dynasty target for me. The Orlando Magic and the Sacramento Kings, Just a lot of star power out of this one. No Lord Alfred Payton, no Nick Vucevic, no DeMarcus Cousins. The Magic started CJ Watson and Dewayne Dedmon. Someone had a great point on Twitter today that I saw, that the Magic traded Toby Harris for Brandon Jennings, and then when Payton doesn't play, Brandon Jennings doesn't start. What a disgusting trade from the Magic. Disgusting. I like Brandon Jennings, but he is in a lot of trouble with his Achilles. And if you're going to go start CJ Watson, who went 10-3-5 with a steal and a block, which is nice numbers, over Brandon Jennings, the guy that you gave up Toby Harris for, it just doesn't make sense. Anyway, what do you do with CJ Watson or Brandon Jennings? I don't think you go to add him in 12-team leagues. They're more DFS targets, but that's really it. Dedmon had 9-7 with a block in his 25 minutes. That's not bad. We don't do much with that while Vucevic is out. Well, Jason Smith went 16-7 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. A great line. But again, let's restrict him to 14 to 16 team leagues. Vic Oladipo is going to have the best bump, I think, if Lord Alfred remains out. 18-4-5 with 5 steals and a block. And Evan Fournier went 16-7-6. These guys, you know, split some of the ball handling duty as well with Watson and Jennings. Aaron Gordon, 20-11. Really bad free throws, 4 of 10, but that is a concern with him. And Mario Hezonja had 4 points in his 19 minutes. It doesn't look like Hezonja is going to be able to become a 12-team league staple towards the end of this season. It is going to require an Evan Fournier injury, and that is the only way that he is going to become relevant. The Kings, without Boogie, they started Quincy Acey, they started Willie Cauley-Stein. Now, Cauley-Stein played just 21 minutes and went 12-6 with a block. Nice production. You would have hoped for more minutes from him. Costa Koufos went 19-4 with a steal and 2 blocks. Again, this guy is a very talented player who doesn't get enough run on a team that's really bad. 19-4 with a steal and 2 blocks. Great numbers, but yeah, Boogie's going to be back, so that's not going to mean anything. Rajon Rondo, 16-5-14 with 2 steals and 2 threes. You love that sort of production. While Darren Collison went 8-2-6 with 3 steals on just 3 of 14 shooting. But still, not a good shooting night, but helps out in these assists and helps out in steals. Now, Quincy Acey, only the 14 minutes, and Omri Caspi had 10 points in his 28 minutes. Well, Rudy Gay, I expected to be in for a big night. He battled foul trouble and went 12-7 with a steal and a block in his 29 minutes. Marco Bellinelli also got hot. He had 4 triples with 17 points in 28 minutes with Ben McLemore out. Speaking of three-pointers, the Portland Trailblazers and the Golden State Warriors combined for 37 triples in this game. Alan Crabb, really solid line here, 11-2, but a 3, a steal, and 2 blocks in his 30 minutes. That's great for 14-team leagues, but nothing more. CJ McCollum, 18-3-2 with 3 threes, and Dame Lillard went 17-2-5 with 4 triples and a steal and a block, and also murdered your field goals, going 5 of 19. Myers Leonard, a big game, relative, 10-13 with 2 triples and 3 assists. He's more of a 14 to 16-team league guy, not a guy that I'm looking at in 12-teamers. Mason Plumlee, minutes are just really restricted at the moment. 10-9-3. That's still productive, but you can probably drop him in 12-team leagues. Same with Al-Farouq Aminu, who played just 21 minutes. And Mo Harkless, Noah Vonleh, these guys just getting these small amounts of minutes, which aren't enough to really have much of an impact. Klay Thompson hit 8 triples. He had 37 points with 6 rebounds and nothing else, while Steph went 34, 3-4 with 2 steals and 7 triples. So Steph and Klay combined for 15 three-pointers. Draymond went 17-13-7 with 2 steals, hit all 9 of his free throws, which is his best free throw night ever, I read somewhere, and terrible field goals, 4 of 11 from Draymond Green. Andy Bogut, 4-9-5 with 2 blocks, continuing just to put up nice numbers, nice enough to own in 12-team leagues. And what about my boy Harry Barnes? Well, if it wasn't for Otto Porter and Serge Ibaka, he'd be back in the dud of the night discussion, 7-6 in his 30 minutes, and Andre Iguodala only played the 15 in this game. The last game of the night, the New York Knicks and the Los Angeles Clippers, Robin Lopez, 20-19 in 44 minutes, a steal and a block. This franchise, I've said it plenty of times, but another one comes out today, Phil Jackson coming out and saying that Kurt Rambis has a real shot for the job, providing the team does well in these end games. You should not be evaluating if you're going to give this guy the coaching job next season based on how many wins they get. Because you are risking injury to Carmelo Anthony. You are playing guys like Jose Calderon more minutes that makes no sense for the future of this team. Aaron Aflalo doesn't need 40 minutes. Sasha Vucic doesn't need 36 minutes. Robin Lopez, as good as he is, doesn't need 44 minutes. and so he can get a couple of games so he can coach next year and still be a shit coach. It makes no sense. And then Phil Jackson, now I don't know if he's trolling everybody, but he comes out, we don't need a star point guard. We've got Tony Roten. Are you joking? Tony Roten. If you pair Tony Roten and Kristaps Porzingis together and Mello, it could not be any worse. Tony Roten is great for fantasy on a terrible team like the Sixers. In certain situations, he's great for fantasy. He's horrible if you care about percentages and turnovers. Horrible. Because he's the most brutal player to watch apart from Jakar Sampson. He is just unwatchable. But to say that he is the point guard to run the triangle with Kurt Rambis and Carmelo Anthony and Kristaps Porzingis, the guy has zero basketball IQ and zero vision and zero shooting ability and anything. If they are banking on Tony Roten being their point guard of the future, well, they deserve all mock and scorn that comes their way. That was ludicrous to me. Mello, another 43 minutes. Good luck to your knees, Carmelo Anthony. 20-6 with 4 assists. While our boy. He played 31 minutes and went 23-4-2 with a 3-1. And we haven't got dickheads like Phil Jackson spouting off about the rookie wall. Just play the kid. Then he'll actually produce. Now, I think preserving him in terms of injury is fine. But when you're running your other guys out there 44 minutes, you obviously don't have that idea. And to me, your idea that... Let me rephrase that. You're ruining guys who are old and who are already damaged, like Mello. So I have doubts that the Knicks are limiting Porzingis' minutes so that they can keep him fresh and as a career longevity move. I would doubt that's their motivation. I'm sure their motivation is, you're a rookie, you suck. What are you doing? You don't learn the game, rookie. Earn your minutes. That's the what comes to me. Because if your idea was we're going to limit Porzingis to 24 minutes, 22 minutes, you know, long season, preserve his body, then you don't play Mello 44 a night with a guy with a busted knee who's 30 plus, who's had knee surgeries and missed games with sore knees. You don't overwork him. You don't overwork a 45-year-old Jose Calderon when you've got a first-round draft choice point guard there who could be playing 20 minutes a night and Calderon could be playing 24 minutes a night. So the logic doesn't add up to me that you're trying to preserve Porzingis and maybe you are. Maybe you're trying to kill Mello so you can get out of his contract. Maybe that's what you're trying to do. Whatever it is, it doesn't add up. Vucic played another 28 minutes with Aaron Aflalo out. And I mentioned yesterday that even if he plays minutes again, he's not going to do what he did in that game and score 23 off 8 shots. He had 9 points here, 3 assists, and he is not a fantasy target, obviously. Jose Calderon, another 38 minutes for him. Of course, 2 points, but 4 rebounds and 7 assists. Not a must-own player despite the minutes for him. And Jerian Grant just limited to the 12 minutes here. Our Langston Galloway had 3 and 5 in his 21 minutes. Onto the Clippers, DeAndre Jordan, 10-19 with 6 blocks and a steal. A big game from Jordan. He hit both of his free throws as well, so there's a little bit of a surprise. Chrissy Paul went 24-4-15, 2 steals and 4 triples, and Jeffrey Green went 17-6-4 in 45 minutes. That means that we're going to see a 22-minute 2-point performance from Jeff Green in the next game, most likely. JJ Redick, 20 points with 4 triples, and saying that, Jeff Green probably has a spot to be owned. Wes Johnson, 10-4 with 2 triples. Paul Pierce and Luke Marmute sat this one out due to our toe and eye issues, respectively. And, I don't think you're really adding Wes Johnson at this point, despite the fact that I like what he can do. The minutes are just not going to be there for him. And Green is going to be up and down, but I would rather own Green than Wes Johnson at this point in the season. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Then I'm going to be back to preview the 10 games from a DFS perspective for Saturday.
This is the part with just the guitar. While we wait on the bass and drums, I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now. Me and the sky are on a roll. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus lets you know you can't see what I see. Whenever I'm around,
big one. 20 game Saturday, Sunday. So this, I said, this podcast is going to go a long time. Where are we at now? Yeah, we're at 46 minutes already. So it has gone a long time. Let's see how far we can get into these games. We'll see how far fast we can smash these. Well, I don't want to go too fast because I don't want to not give them their proper attention. Let's get into them now. Indiana and Dallas. The Mavericks are favored by one. The total is 205 points. CJ Miles is back, and this is an early game, so be aware of that. Ty Lawson for the Pacers. Lavoie Allen for the Pacers are both questionable. If they play, it doesn't really have too much of an impact, I don't think. Point guards. Darren Williams, 5,600. He's been okay lately. When you're averaging 26 across the last five and across the last three, yeah, that's okay at 5,600. It's not awesome. It's not quite 5X. And the Pacers have been quite good with point guards lately, so he's probably someone I don't love. He does have an okay upside, but not enough for me to get too excited. You got, on the other hand, Georgie Hill at 5,500. He is not someone that I'm going to be overly keen on. The thing we look at here is the Pacers have had 4 days rest. So that could bring something into this and allow guys like Hill to play some extra minutes. But do they also want to get Ty Lawson involved? And that's something that might keep him under 35 minutes. Regardless, George Hill, probably not someone I'm using. Monte Ellis is here against his former team, back in Dallas, 6,600 for Monte. He's been pretty solid lately. This is not a tough matchup. He's got a 32 average across his last five. I think that in somewhat of a revenge situation for Monte, he is not a terrible tournament play. And you know what? Even in a cash game, you can get 32 or 33 out of him. I reckon you're pretty happy with that. Wes Matthews at 41, not getting anything done. Can get hot, so in a tournament, sure, but definitely not someone I'm all that interested in. Devin Harris, Rod Stuckey, none of those guys have much of appeal to me. Small forwards, Paul George, 9,000. Look, not a cash game guy, I don't think. But I think in a tournament, you know that he can go for 50, and this could be a good spot for him. He's had 4 days rest, and that's a good thing too. Chandler Parsons at 6,800. I reckon Chandler Parsons is a nice guy to have a look at here. 40 points is probably his upside. Not the best option on the board, but there's a little bit of something there for him. Power forwards, Miles Turner at 4,900. Back in business in the last one, played 37 minutes, got 26 points. Yeah, 25. If he can get enough minutes, 27 to 30 minutes, he should easily smash 25 points. So he is someone to look at against the Dallas team whose defense is not great in the front court. When you've got Dirk Nowitzki and David Lee there, of course it's not great. 69 for Dirk, and he's been playing very well lately, averaging over 36 points in his last three. Not the matchup that I want to use him in. And same with Dave Lee at 4,800. The form has regressed, thankfully, because I did think that I was going insane looking at a lot of his numbers. So he has dropped off. Rick Carlisle also says that he is going to be getting Dwight Powell back into the rotation, and you would have to think that is going to come at the expense of David Lee. Centers. Jan Mahimi's at 5,200. He's been really solid. This is not a tough matchup for him. I feel fine using him in a cash game. Now, there is a risk with him with fouls. That does limit him from time to time. But otherwise, you feel pretty confident he's going to go for 27 points. And that's plenty at that salary. Zaza Pachulia, I have zero trust in him at the moment. Houston and Charlotte is the next game we're going to take a look at. The Hornets are favored by 4.5 points. The total is 215.5. So we've got a decent total here. Injuries, Spencer Hawes is out with that back issue. Terrence Jones is likely not to play as well because he's terrible. Point guards, Pat Bev, 5,200. Consistently giving you, he's averaging 28 across the last five, and that is fine at that salary. He's not going to explode. He's not going to be exciting, but for a cash game tournament, sorry, for a cash game point guard, a 5X guy who feels like a lock at that salary, at that price, you look at him. 9,100 for Kemba, don't love it going up against Pat Bev. He's been a very restrictive force against point guards lately, and at 9,100, that's just too expensive. Jorge Gutierrez, Jason Terry, they don't have much appeal whatsoever. Shooting guards, Jim Harden, 11,000. Courtney Lee has an impact, so 11,000 for Jim Harden here. I'm not sure that I'm all that keen on using him. Yeah, he wasn't great against Boston. He still put up 40 points, but you want him to do more than that, and not sure that he's going to be a good play here. Courtney Lee, on the other hand, at 3,700, has had a couple of big games in a row. Now, Harden's been reducing shooting guard output as well, so Lee is a tournament option at that low salary, and you hope he gets you 25 points, but I put very little confidence in it. Small forwards, Nick Batum, he is someone that I do like here. Rockets bump is good. 6,900 for him. He dropped 42 in the last game. He's averaging over 35 in his last five. He is someone who does have appeal. Trevor Reeser at 6,200, not for me. Just can't get over the 30 hump. And in the last five games, he hasn't cleared 30, and his salary is over 6,000. That doesn't add up. Mike Beasley, a minimum salary, he was great, 29 points, but it also required him to set an NBA record to do it in taking that many shots. Can he get 29 points again? I would feel like that's probably unlikely. But can he get 20? That's maybe a little bit more realistic, but unless we hear, you know, we're committing to Beasley, we're playing him 25 minutes a night, then I would have a bit more interest at 2,500. Not 25, 30. If it was 2,500, definitely interested. 3,500. Power forwards. The Houston power forwards are brutally bad. They are just not good whatsoever. My computer has dropped completely out, so I need to bring this up onto the screen. There we go. Sorry about that. Now I've got to redo everything. Thank you very much, Australian Internet. I won't call out which company it is, but your constant dropouts are a great source of amusement and mirth to me. Just talk amongst yourselves for a second while I get this brought back up. The power forwards is where we're talking for the Rockets and the Hornets. I think we're almost back. We are. Marvin Williams for the Hornets. He is priced at 5,800. He's been consistently putting up nice numbers. 29 average across his last three. Rockets bump is sensational for him here. Love using him. I think there's great value there. And even Cody Zeller at 4,600. Rockets bump is real for him too. He dropped 26 today. I think that he is an okay guy to look at. I think that he definitely has potential to break that 5x value. The Rockets power forwards, Donatas Motiejunas, Clint Capela, Montrezl Harrell, Terrence Jones, no thank you for any of them. Dwighty Howard at center has been putting up big numbers, 8,100, but he needs to be cracking 40, and he's not doing it enough. It is a good matchup for him, but he's just too far behind the eight ball. And Al Jefferson, no thanks. Detroit and Philadelphia. The Pistons are favored by 10. The total is 209. Bob Cove, I would be shocked if he plays in this one. We've also got to check on the status of Rishon Holmes and Jeremy Grant. A few wing and big men who are in a fair bit of trouble here. And the Sixers, they're probably going to get their asses absolutely kicked with all these guys out. Ish Smith at 6,700, not a good bet against the Pistons, I don't think. Yeah, he's probably going to get you 30 points, but you want him to do a little bit more than that in this one, so probably a guy that I'm not overly keen on. Isaiah Cannon at 39, always a tournament option, never a cash. And Reggie Jackson's performance has improved lately, and this is a good spot for him. He's got a 35 average across his last three, had another 35-point performance today. If he gets 35 again, then you're pretty happy. Shooting guards, Nick Stauskas played a little bit of extra minutes today. Don't want to use him though. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 5,100, he feels, you know, like a pretty solid bet to me to get 25 points. And at 5,100, that should be something that is worth considering. Small forwards, Hollis Thompson. He's at 3,800. He dropped 26 today. He's averaging 22 points across his last five. He should get big minutes with Bob Cove out. Fine. I think he's a nice cash and he's a nice tournament option. Marcus Morris at 52, not doing it for me, nor is Stan Johnson. Power forwards. Toby Harris, just lock him in for 30 points. He's at 6,000. He had another 32 today. He's averaging 32 across the last three. He's averaging 30 across the last five. It's going to be 30 points for Toby. His lowest score in his last five is 28. That's where he's going to be. And it's not like the Sixers are going to be able to shut him down. On the other side of things, Nerlens Noel, 6,300. No Jelly Locafor. So that means we're going to get an improved Nerlens Noel performance. So we look at him and go, is it 35 points is probably the right spot for him? I think that's sort of the area you're aiming for. Now, Grant, with his possible concussion, he might not play. He hasn't been providing much anyway. But if say, Grant is out and Rishon Holmes plays, then at 3,700, I do like Rishon Holmes as a punt option. Carl Landry also becomes a punt option at 3,600 if Grant is out. He dropped 26 today. He's got an 18 average across his last five in just 17 minutes. You would expect him to play more minutes in a situation where Holmes and or Grant is out, and that would make him an appealing guy because he obviously still knows how to score and he still knows how to grab rebounds. Andre Drummond at 8,600. I reckon this is a great contrarian option. Not many people are going to be on Drummond after his stinker today. He has already torn the Sixers apart quite a few times this year. He's going to be matching up against Nerlens Noel. For as good as Noel is, he just doesn't have the strength or the bulk to really be able to slow Drummond down a massive amount. Hacking might occur, and that is always a risk, but I think that we could be seeing a 20-20 sort of game from Drummond here. Aaron Baines is always interesting at 3,500 in a tournament sense if something happens to Drummond, but most of the time you'll end up losing your money. Miami and Toronto, there is no spread released for this one just yet. I don't really know why. I'm not sure what injury status we're waiting on. It's not like we're going to be having Chris Bosh come back or Damari Carroll come back or anything in this game. Not really sure what the delay on releasing the spread is. Point guards, 8,700 for Kyle Lowry. No, he just look, he's been good, but he's averaging less than 40 across his last five, and he needs to do way more than that. And the Heat defense is good. On the other side, Goran Dragic at 6,600. He is more appealing, averaging 36 across his last five. That is interesting, but the Raptors' defense against point guards is pretty impressive too. But if I'm picking one of these guys, it's definitely Dragic. Shooting guards, Dwayne Wade was terrible in today's game, but I think that he can be a lot better. Now, the salary for him is, it's quite high, 7,600. Not sure that I want to use him in this one. We've got DeMar DeRozan for 300 less. I would much rather take DeMar. Neither of them really stand out as awesome plays. Joe Johnson is above 5,000 is too expensive. And Terrence Ross at 39 is a great tournament. He's not a great. He's a somewhat awesome tournament option, as is Josh Richardson, who dropped 32 today, and he's at 3,700. He is definitely someone to look at in tournaments. Small forwards, Luol Deng at 6,300. Yeah, he's going to get you more than that on basically every night. Fine with using him. Justice Winslow, James Johnson, these guys aren't worth appealing to your common sense about. Power forwards, Patrick Patterson, Amari Stoudemire, Luis Scola, Jason Thompson. Let's talk about the centers. Hassan Whiteside is at 8,700. He still had another 43 today in somewhat of a quiet performance. You feel pretty confident you're going to get 40-plus from Whiteside, and at 8,700, that's not a bad return. Jonas Valanciunas at 59, no, not getting enough minutes. And 3,900 for Bismack Biyombo is marginally appealing, but you just require him to have a big block game. So consistency is a little bit of a concern for me with him. New Orleans and Milwaukee. Norris Cole is a big factor in this one, whether he plays or not. If he doesn't play, then Tone Douglas gets a lot of DFS exposure. If Cole does play, then Norris Cole gets a lot of DFS exposure. Point guard-wise, I think there's two really good options here. Jared Bayless at 4,200, no OJ Mayo, no Michael Carter-Williams. Tyler Ennis is not good. Bayless is the guy who's going to play 40 minutes, and hopefully you expect him to have a decent game. He had a terrible one in the last one, but I would expect him to improve. Ennis at 3,500, no, if something happens to Bayless, then maybe. Drew Holiday, 8,200, just putting up big, big numbers lately, averaging 48 across his last three, 42 across his last five. The Bucks defense without Carter Williams doesn't really bother me all that much, so I feel like 40 points is basically a lock-it-in moment for Drew. Norris Cole at 5,700, have to play him, I think, if he is healthy. Otherwise, it's Tone Douglas who put up 31 points at $3,600 in Friday's action. Shooting guards. Chris Middleton is at 7,900, 40 points. Does not feel like a stupid expectation for him, so yeah, he is okay to look at, and there's nothing else to pay any attention to. Small forwards, Giannis Antetokounmpo is at 9,600. That is too rich for me. 49 average across the last five is obviously stellar, but can he get? You basically want him to get 50. Is he going to get 50? It feels real tough to me, and that is such an expensive salary. I will probably fade Giannis at that price. Alonzo G, Luke Babbitt, the other guys listed at small forward, have no interest for me being into a lineup. Power forwards, Jabari, 6,800. Fine, I think that should be used, especially against his Pelicans front court, who gives up a lot of fantasy points to power forwards. On the other hand, the Bucks yield stacks as well. Tone Davis is at 10,300. He had 45 today. He's averaging 52 across his last three, 49 across his last five. 40 points is the bare minimum you're going to get from Tone, so I reckon that he is one of the better ways to spend your money on Saturday. Dante Cunningham had a surprising 36. He's at minimum salary. I would not expect that to happen again. And Ryan Anderson, if they go with this smaller lineup at 5,300, he is a tournament option. He is never a cash game option, though. He is strictly a tournament play. Centers, Greg Monroe at 6,800. Not getting it done. That salary has not dropped enough. Miles Plumlee at 37. Maybe maybe a tournament, but upside's not high. And Omar Asik and Kendrick Perkins, there is no chance. I reckon you'd want them in a lineup. Memphis at Atlanta. No spread for this one. The Grizzlies are ravaged by injuries at the moment. We don't know if Mike Conley is going to play. It seems unlikely he will play. He's doubtful. The Birdman's questionable. Zach Randolph's questionable. Vince Carter is questionable. And on the Hawks side, Mike Scott is probable with some paternity leave. His partner had a baby the other day, so he took the game off. He should be back for this one. Point guards. Jeffy Teague, 6,400. Nope. Den Schroeder, 48. Nope. Briante Webster, not available on FanDuel. So, yes, but he's not available. If he's on your other providers, DraftKings, minimum salary, definitely think he's a big guy to have a look at. Mike Conley, yeah, unlikely to play. Shooting guard, Lance, 4,200. He is going to be exceptionally highly owned, like high, 80%, I would guess, in your cash games. If you don't roster Lance, in a cash game, you could be running into a big problem. In a tournament, it might be a better way to go contrarian, but he is going to be rostered. He dropped 52 on a 4,200 salary. He is going to have to handle the ball quite a lot. No offense to Briante Weber, but it was his NBA debut. He's not an NBA player. He's not an NBA rotation quality guy at this point in his career. Lance is, and you could have said the same for Lance, to be honest. He's not an NBA rotation quality player. But he has played well since being in Memphis, and he is going to take a lot of the touches here. Kyle Korver at 3,700, tournaments, and that's literally it. And Tone Allen at 4,500. I don't trust in his ability to get fantasy points. Small forwards, Matty Barnes. He's going to be pretty highly owned as well. A nice 58 spot from Barnsley today at 4,800. I still think that he's a great option at that salary. You just need to get 25 points from him, and that shouldn't be too hard. Kent Bazemore at 49. I would much rather take Barnes at that $100 less. Even if I was paying $200 more, I would rather take Barnes than Bazemore at this point. No other small forwards worth mentioning. Paulie Millsap at power forward in a bit of a slump. Only at 7,800, which he's been a lot higher than that. But his production's been a little bit down, especially the last game. But yeah, I would be okay playing him here, especially if Zach Randolph's out. I think that Millsap can have a nice game. If Randolph's back, I don't love him, but I do love Jermichael Green. Now, that salary is at 6,400. He is smashing value. It's going to require Randolph being out. If Randolph plays, then there's no chance of using Green. Now, Chris Humphries, Ryan Hollins, none of those guys are appealing. The centers, Al Horford, 7,100. He's been a little bit quiet as well, only a 27-point average. But I don't hate him against the Grizzlies. Now, the game will probably be a little bit slower, giving it to the Grizzlies, and that might limit his ability to get touches. But Horford is not someone I'd completely shy away from. The next game, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs. The Thunder fresh off a home loss to the Timberwolves. Now, travel to San Antonio. To say it doesn't get any easier is an understatement. 8-point favorite to the Spurs. The total is 213. Dion Waiters is still probable with that personal issue. Andre Robertson is questionable with his ankle. Point guards, Tone Parker is at 5,100. He's playing Russell Westbrook. He will play decent minutes, I would imagine, and he dropped 43 in the last game. He will not drop 43 again, but 25, 28 plus shouldn't be an overly stressful task for Parker. Westbrook at 10,900. You're asking a lot, I think, of Westbrook. The form has dropped off slightly. A 46 average across the last five is not terrible, but when you're talking 11,000, I think you need to look elsewhere. Patty Mills has dropped off too, and Andre Miller does not get enough minutes to warrant consideration. Shooting guards. Danny Green at 4,100. Minutes have hit since Manu's back, and we're not using Manu either. Randy Foy, look at this group. Andre Robertson, Anthony Morrow, Kevin Martin, Jonathan Simmons, Dion Waiters. Yeah, I challenge you to use a shooting guard from this game. Small forwards, Kawhi Leonard is at 8,800. Kevin Durant is at 10,900. It's a $2,000 difference between the two. Leonard is guarding Durant. That is not... Now, Durant's good, but that's still not good for him to have Kawhi on him. At 8,800, Kawhi is going to play pretty decent minutes, I'd be pretty confident with, and I think that for him to get 40 points, it's exactly where you're looking at. Durant has been awesome, but 10,900, you need him to be pushing 55 points, and that feels like a pretty significant ask against Kawhi. So I would definitely be taking Kawhi over Durant in this one as a value for money perspective. Serge Ibaka, 5,700. If he was playing anyone bar the Spurs, I'd be going, you know what, let's look at Serge as a contrarian tournament play. Even still, I might look at it at 5,700, but it's not a great spot. LaMarcus Aldridge at 8,000. The salary's risen. The production has risen sensationally as well. Fine with using him. I think that he is a good option for both forms. Dave West, 4,000. He needs someone to sit. And Boris Diaw, same story. Diaw is averaging 8 points across his last three games. Tim Duncan, not really a valuable DFS target anymore. Steve Adams at 4,200. Don't hate using Steve Adams. He's a nice tournament guy to give you the 27-28 point mark. And Enes Kanter at 4,800. He's averaging 30 points across his last three. He is due for a letdown, so I'd probably steer clear of him. Washington and Denver. No spread released yet for this game. Brad Beal is questionable for the Wizards' point guards. Emmanuel Mudiay at 6,200 has been crushing value lately. I think that he is fine to use in both formats. Johnny Wall at 9,700 is also a pretty good play against this Denver team, who is a fast-paced team and a fast-paced lineup. Wall is in play. DJ Augustine, Ramon Sessions, just not enough minutes for them to be considered. Shooting guards. Will the Thrill Barton, 5,800 for Will. A big game in the last game, 35 points. Had not been living up to that expectation before that. He is a tournament guy to look at, and that's about it. Gaz Harris at 5,100. I like Gaz for a cash just to get 25 to 26 points out of him, and hopefully he has a bigger night. Beal, we wouldn't be using him even if he did play. Allen Anderson, Garrett Temple, Marcus Thornton, no one appeals there. Otto Porter, we'll move on from that. He's at 4,300. He's doing nothing. Jakar Sampson's only just trailing Otto Porter for fantasy points. In fact, over the last five games, Jakar is averaging 12 points a game. Otto is averaging 10. That's how good Otto Porter's been lately. Terrible. Power forwards. Darrell Arthur is at 3,700. He put up 26 in the last game. That's good, but I don't want to use him. Markieff Morris, looking better, but 5,000 still a bit high for his current level of production. And Ken Faried at 6,500. I thought that, yeah, he's great. Yeah, end of year boost, but then he goes out and drops a 14-point game on us. There's a lot of cash game variability in Faried. This is not an awesome matchup for him, so he's probably someone I stay away from. Jared Dudley, Nene, not awesome like guys either. Nikola Jokic is at 6,400. He's been getting big minutes and he's been providing big numbers. I am more than fine with using Jokic, and 37 average across his last five, I would be pretty confident we're getting 35 plus from Jokic here. Gortat, it's very hard to trust him at 7,000 with the way that Randy Whitman is using him in his minutes. Phoenix and Golden State, this looks very tasty for Golden State, except they could be 30 up by the end of the third quarter, and that would mean we'd see no Steph, no Klay, no Draymond, no Iggy, no Bogut. So, you're spending $10,600 on Steph Curry? It's a great matchup, but are you doing it? I am probably not. You will need him to go for 50+, and he might do it, but he also might play 27 minutes. Not for me. Livingston, no. Brandon Knight's just easing his way back in, and Ron Price at 4,100. We don't know which way that minute split is going to go in this game, so he is a non-starter for me as well. Shooting guards, Clay, again, brilliant matchup, but how much does he play? I would rather go the 700 less and take Devin Booker, who has been absolutely on fire. Can you expect him to go for 40 again, Devin? Probably not, but I reckon you can get high 30s out of him at 6,300. You're happy with that. Barbosa, Goodwin, Rush, none of those guys are really worth looking at. Small forwards, Harry Barnes. Keep moving on there. PJ Tucker, no thanks. Iguodala, Chase Budinger, nothing to see here at the small forward position. Power forwards, Draymond at 8,200. He had a 45-point game today. Again, this is an easy matchup, but will that limit his minutes? Not a guy that I want to spend up on. Mirzatalevich has been ice cold. Not going to use him against the Warriors. John Lua, despite a good game, he is not appealing either. Centers, Alex Len at 6,700. Stunk in the last game. I think that it will mean his ownership will be a little bit depressed, so I'm fine with going and using him. Tyson Chandler, no thanks, and Andy Bogut at 4,900. The resting risk is a real possibility here. Orlando and Portland, the last game of the night, no spread release for this one. I guess we need to see the status of Nick Vucevic and Lord Alfred Payton from the Magic. Point guards, Dame Lillard, 9,600, had a real struggle against the Warriors today. He could bounce back and go really explosive. He is a nice tournament option, but probably not a cash game play. Lord Alfred, we're not using in either of those, even if he plays. And CJ Watson at 36. If Payton is out, I'll be okay with using Watson in a tournament. He dropped 24 today. This is a very easy matchup given the recent form of the Blazers and point guards. 3,600, he has to be looked at. Shooting guards, Vic Oladipo is in a pretty good spot here. He's priced at 7,000. His average is 37. His production will go up. If Payton and Vucevic happen to be out, I'd be fine using him there. I also like his opposite number, CJ McCollum, who's at 6,800. He's had a few quiet games, but this could be the game for him to go for a 30 or 40 point night. Probably more of a tournament than a cash game look, but still something to consider. Al Crabb, Gerald Henderson, both less than 4,000, both unreliable. Small forwards, Evan Fournier at 5,500, one of the best plays on the board, I think. He's averaging 32 across the last three. He should be good for 30 points at 5,500. Al-Farouq Aminu, Maurice Harkless, no reliability in any of those guys, and Mario Hezonja requires an injury for him to be useful at minimum salary. Power forwards, the Blazers, just forget about any of these big men for the Blazers. Aaron Gordon at 6,600 has been a little bit depressed in his value lately. Did have a 35 today, but he's at 6,600. You need him to go higher than that. Not loving him as much at 66 as what I was when he was at 6,000. If Jason Smith gets another start, he had 32 today. He's at minimum salary. I would be looking at using Jason Smith in a tournament setting. For centers, Mason Plumlee's minutes are too fluctuable, but Myers Leonard at 3,600 has been a solid guy recently. 22 points across his last three, including 29 today. He'd be a tournament guy to punt on as a cheap center. Vucevic, if he plays at 8,000, probably don't want to use him first game back from a groin issue. Let's look now at the DFS picks of the day for Saturday. Jared Bayless, the point guard at 4,200, Tone Parker at 51, and Drewy Holiday at 82. The shooting guards, Lance Stephenson, 42, CJ McCollum at 68, and Chrissy Middleton at 79. The small forwards, Hollis Thompson, 38, Nick Batum, 69, and Kawhi Leonard, 88. Power forwards, Miles Turner, 49, Toby Harris, 6,000, and Tone Davis, 10,300. And the centers, Myers Leonard, 36, Nikola Jokic, 64, and Andre Drummond, 8,600. We are done today, guys, for this podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at redrock_bball. And like the Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/redrockbasketball. And of course, Basketball Monster for all your seasonal and DFS fantasy needs. Make sure you're checking that out. Good luck in your playoffs. Good luck if your playoffs are starting next week. Good luck with your DFS lineups. Good luck with your life. Everything. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.